Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly Black hotties.
Today we're unfriendly because capitalism seems to have killed patrons of the arts. I'm Nandi K.
And I'm Naransi. And I'm unfriendly because it's Pride Month and Juneteenth, and I have not done a single hood rat thing today.
Boo.
Boo.
Our guest unfriendly Black hottie is back. Naransi, we're so happy to have you. That's sad that you haven't. I haven't done anything too hood rat today. What? I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah. Gotta do something before. Gotta
do something in celebration of the day.
It's Pride Month. We're at our most powerful.
Yes.
The queers are super powerful today. If you're Black and you're queer, power up.
Yes, go out and take over something.
Yeah, hit a stracket with a brick. You know what, I might go to Home Depot and get a couple bricks.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that we might love a good crafting project.
We might need to do a little bit of that. I'm also gonna watch a play today. Some Black queer folks that I know. I go to this writing group. I told you about it. There's this like Black queer writing group that I go to on Sundays that a friend of mine hosts. And every quarter we do a feedback session. And so some people bring their works and we read like the first 10 to 12 pages of whatever those works are. It's really fun. I mostly go to read as a reader and to just see what people are writing, because I'm pretty, I would say I ain't even really writing right now, but it's good to like take in a bunch of stuff. And so they are something that was debuted at this feedback session is now being put on at a theater in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but they have a live stream
performance. So you're going to watch the stream?
So I'm going to watch the stream of it tonight. It's also at a theater I used to perform at. So that also feels really special. So I'm really excited for that tonight.
I love this. I love this. Yeah. Like, I'm in the process of putting together a pitch for some prose writing here in Austin, like hosting. There's a lot of places that do poetry, and I facilitate even some of the poetry writing, but not a lot of places for Black folks to dig into prose. And you know me, and that I love to write horror and all of that stuff. So I'm just thinking, since I can't find anybody, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah.
Hey, ain't that the way? Ain't that the way? Well, no one's doing it. I guess I'll do it.
I'll do it. But I looked, and that is the difference between us and not us, because we will go and look and see who's doing stuff and try to build community, and other folks will just be like, I'm the only one. So
who's ever thought of this? I'm the one who had this first idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's Juneteenth and we're off work. But today we are talking about creativity under capitalism, which I think no better day than Juneteenth, Prideteenth, to talk about all the ways that creativity under capitalism has tried to be crushed or has thrived.
Boo capitalism.
Yeah, working for a living is really the pits.
I think it should be criminal, honestly. Nobody should have to work for a living. You're alive, so you should just be able to have food and a place to stay and water and clothes. I don't know what kind of horrible person that makes me, but I don't think that your ability to like contribute to making other people's money should be a factor in how well you can live your life.
I fully agree. Yeah. And I recently was laid off, so obviously there have been so many feelings that I've had about the way capitalism kind of comes crashing down around or crashing down on you, really, like when you lose your job. But I also was feeling awful. Like I was not doing well at work. I was stressed. And when I say I wasn't doing well at work, I mean me. I'm an incredible employee. My work was exemplary, but as a human being, I was very burned out. People were taking credit for my work. People were making bad decisions. And then I ended up losing my job, which I know wouldn't have happened if I wasn't Black. And so it's pretty wild to be like, yeah, it's been a wild ride and I'm still kind of like riding through it. But really, I'm like, I still have a lot to do. Like, I've still found myself being like, you could even go slower.
Yes.
Work wasn't the only thing I was doing. And you're kind of in the throes of corporate, but you had some changes.
I did. And I know, I don't think we talked about it on the last call because we were too busy getting into that messy ass book. But like, I literally almost died at the end of January and was hospitalized for a while in ICU. And while I didn't lose my job, I was in the process of switching teams and basically ended up de facto switching teams by the time I got out of the hospital. And the difference between the stress levels in the two roles is kind of night and day, which has given me this ability to stretch my wings creatively in ways that I hadn't had the energy to before. Because like you, I was feeling like really burnt out, really stressed, really like constantly under pressure. And to be able to have some of that lift and look around and go, oh, wow, like I could be doing my writing some more. I could be hosting these events. I could be like a real person that has creative ideas and isn't just like going to sleep at the end of the day and then getting up and doing chores and then working again. You know, like that's been such a relief. Like I feel more like myself in that way. Like I don't know that I felt like a human for a while.
It's so funny because I also got laid off like 3 years ago around the same time. And that was when I started playing D&D right after that. And since then, I think that layoff really traumatized me because I was not expecting it. It felt so completely out of the blue, but it was another case where I was really unhappy because I was trying to do the work that needed to be done, but there were a lot of politics at the company that I didn't understand as like a newer employee. And yeah, it really caught me off guard, but they really like did a good job at the layoff, I guess. Like they gave me healthcare through the end of the year. The severance was pretty generous.
Okay. So they were decent.
They were decent in it. Yeah. They were decent in it. Like it was like 3 months of severance, healthcare through the end of the year. And that was like 7 months or 8 months of healthcare or something like that. Yeah. And I ended up getting like a contract role, like maybe like 3 or 4 months after that to like tie me over until I got into the role that I just got laid off for. But in that time when I was like off work, started playing D&D, I realized I hadn't really like played in like life.
We don't let people play, especially grown-ups, but like even kids now.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of play in my life like as a kid. That's what I was kind of like reflecting on as I was starting to like play these tabletop role playing games. And I obviously had deep grief over that, but then I was so happy that I found it, and I've been incorporating more and more play into my life, making it more of a habit. Mm-hmm. And even though work was kind of bullshit, I had enough creative projects that became a habit mm-hmm. that there were mm-hmm. some things that I was still showing up to, like this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been doing some D&D streams. I was doing streams and stuff like that. But yeah, it was draining me. I couldn't really do nothing else. It was hard for me to get out of bed. I was getting out of bed and going right to my computer, which is not Same. Even my
No, normal. And that's not healthy Mm-mm. for you to roll out of bed and open a laptop. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
You don't even, your brain doesn't even get a chance to think about the fact that you're awake. You're just like suddenly on and then boom, stress. Like, what happened while I was away from the computer? How many Slack right. messages are there? How many things are in my email inbox? Yeah. Like, who's going to be mad today? Like, that whole thing is so, so detrimental to personhood. Mm-hmm. And then Americans do this really like weird thing where we equate whatever your job role is to how much respect we're supposed to give you as a yeah. person. Yeah. And so if you don't have like job role A or job role B, strangers don't know where to place you in mm-hmm. their level of like personal esteem. It's like yeah. we can't just give people basic decency. We have to understand what your tax bracket is before we can treat you like a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just this weird, like a click, but worse. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, because it's not based on anything, you know?
No, like, yeah, it's not based, really on based on anything at all. And it makes you shun people for no good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, damn, that really made me think, like, when I be at work, I really hate people who are bad at their jobs. Like, mm-hmm. and I think this is like a, this is like kind of a bad thing. Like, people should low-key be allowed to be bad at their jobs for a while.
If they're just learning, but like, you gotta yeah, be competent.
There's definitely a limit. There's definitely a limit. There's definitely a limit, but yeah, I really, yeah, when people are bad at their jobs, especially I think in corporate, it's easier for me to like not treat them like human beings. I try not to talk to people who are bad at their jobs. I actually would rather pretend they're not there.
And see, that's kindness though. Like, have you're to not going with them. You're not yeah. going out of your way to look down on them. And I will admit that I have a certain amount of trauma on incompetence. Like, incompetent people set me yeah. off because of yeah. the way people have weaponized incompetence mm-hmm. in my past.
Yes.
So I get that. But at the same time, you're not thinking, oh, you don't deserve to eat just because you're bad at this job. You're thinking, why do you have this job? Go do something.
Something else.
Yes. Something else. Go do something yeah. else. Something that you're good at. Why are you lying? Why are you wasting my time? Why are you, you know, making it harder when it's already hard enough for people like you and me? Because I'll tell you right now, I've had to have conversations. It's like, I can't get mad at work. Mm-hmm. If I get angry, suddenly I'm an angry Black woman. Never mind that I'm non-binary because I'm not really out at work like that.
I'd be snapping.
I did not. At the time, I was customer facing. I would get fired. Just like flat out fired. Yeah. And so you then are like policing yourself. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, is my passion going to come across as anger, or is my conviction gonna come across as anger? And you learn all of these little softening techniques, and by the time you're done softening yourself, you're just like this little tiny wad of tissue paper,
and you're about to die.
Yeah, good on me for not dying.
Yeah, that's one thing that really motivated me to try to move away from the customer facing side. Because when I really started experiencing burnout at a super high level was in 2019 and 2020, where I had 150 accounts or something like that. And I was the main person. No. I was the only person. And then they brought in someone who was supposed to help me who was literally illiterate. Literally, I would send them a message and they would respond with something that I did not say. No. It was so frustrating. I used to cry all the time from just the sheer workload. I would have to work till 10 o'clock. My boss in Ireland will also be working until forever, who is like another woman. And yeah, I was like, I have to get away from customers. because I was like, this is like killing me. Customer facing. Because you can low-key snap on your coworkers a little bit more.
A little bit, depending on what's going on. Because
I be snapping on my coworkers. I don't care. Because one thing, I have to find somebody to either snap to that I can vent to, or I'm going to snap on my boss.
I did vent. Like, there were folks that we vented together. Like, what even was that? I can't believe that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I was lucky. Like, all of my coworkers on customer side, for the most part, were really good.
Well, yeah.
And then, like, the one person who was my nemesis for a while ended up wanting to be my bestie because this person realized that I was really good at my job and that they couldn't, you know, like, take the credit for themselves because they didn't understand what I was doing.
Shame.
It's a shame. It's a shame. Then they tried to be my bestie and then they moved to another team. Farewell.
Yeah. So since you have made kind of like this shift where you switch teams, what in your life has changed? Like, what are you up to? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So many things. So there's a poetry group that meets on Tuesdays here in Austin, most Tuesdays. And I facilitated a couple of the Tuesday workshops doing different kinds of poetry. Got a lot of great feedback there. Started helping one of my best friends working on like co-producing a show that we used to do a couple of years back. Last year we didn't do it because there was, you know, like a whole family emergency situation that happened, so we couldn't do it. But this year we did for Black Fay Day, and we took up over the entire George Washington Carver Museum here in Austin, and that was amazing. Loved it so much. All the little babies dressed as fairies. I got to read books to them.
So cute. Oh,
the story time was amazing. And now we're doing this show called Legend of the Realms, where each month is a different kind of competition. This month it was singers, and we had some of the most amazing performers.
Yes.
And next month in July is my month, and it's all the poets. So it's basically going to be a poetry slam plus an activation. I'm planning all kinds of like writing and word-based activations. I can't let the cat out the bag about what those are, but if you're following me, Naransi.speaks on Instagram, some of that stuff will get out in drips and drops before we go. And then we also have this activation called Healing House, where we basically attune to all five senses and really help people to do things like process grief or shame or fear and to be in community. This past lore, we had vendors, we have food.
I always need food, so I love to hear that.
Yes, so it's awesome. If you're local, I hope you'll come out and have fun and be in community with us. And if you're not, I hope you'll enjoy all the videos. And at some point, I have to get back on it. I have a little like character-based thread for the entity that I'm playing for this role. Their name is Wist, and I'm basically playing them as a deity that has come to this very small planet and is quite confused about how very, very ghetto it is here.
Well, it seems like you're outside.
Yes.
That's great. You wasn't really outside.
I was not. And that's a shame because I'm cute. I should be outside. We should be outside. You're cute too.
Yeah, I also kind of have started going outside, which is, I really struggle with being outside. But I've had some fun. Like, it's just like I moved back to my hometown years ago, and I haven't really been outside because it was COVID. And I moved from New York to Florida, where there was no COVID, in quotes. Florida wasn't having COVID in the same way. And
COVID was having Florida, much in the same way COVID was having Texas.
Listen, exactly. And so it was super weird moving back and feeling comfortable being out. So I'm just starting to be back out. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, since I got laid off, though, really, I've been kind of like trying to rest. I really fell off all my routines.
Mm-hmm.
I was staying up late. Now, I love staying up late. That's one thing I still have been doing. But I'm like, I can stay up late. I just have to adjust my routines to staying up late.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to happen because I like to work out when it's total darkness.
Mm.
But I don't know. We're working on it. We're not to the working out part again yet.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, this is not about perfection.
I'm not even there yet, but I'm back to like trying to get my 8 hours, whatever that looks like. And I'm still keeping up all my things. So like my podcast is still going. I have two more podcasts that are in like some form of pre-production. So like the actual play, that's like an all black tabletop actual play. We did our like prologue session of that. I have like a music podcast that I'm trying to figure out and develop with a friend. We have Right Quick, which we're going to be hitting a year soon. So I want to think about what's the next level of that. And I'm like thinking about what does it look like for me to work for myself, to provide my styling services, to provide my production services, to provide my voice acting services. I do so much shit. It's honestly wild how many skills and talents I have. So I'm just like, if these white people with all these millions of dollars can squander all this bullshit, they squandered $34 million in 10 months.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Let somebody give me $34 million.
Listen, I'm set for life. And so is everyone I know. Everyone I know is set for life if I get $34
million. Give us $34 million. None of us
ever work. Yeah, we can do that. And for myself, sewing. I have really loved sewing. It is such a fun. I think I use all the same. I think all the same skills that I use for like product management. Mm-hmm. And like how I think about critical thinking and solving puzzles and stuff like that. All those things come together in sewing and it's really fun. It's a little tough because there's also things that I am not used to doing, like measuring and being precise. But it's really fun because I have to take my time and I can't. Mm-hmm. Rushing is just the worst thing. So I've been really loving that.
I've been loving seeing the designs that you shared with us. Like the pants are so cute.
Yeah, I love the pants. Yeah, I want to make more. If I can get them perfect, it would be great. But it's also hot, so now I got to make some shorts. But yeah, what do you think the dream is? Like, what's the dream of your life balance?
Oh my gosh, like if I could just take the magic wand and hold it. I'm not gonna wave it, I'm just gonna keep it. Like we're not gonna waste wishes. I think what I would do is create a multidisciplinary creative studio. And by that I mean I would want to foster writers, including myself, but also game development. Also plays and movies, like all Black media, everything, and queer, super, super fucking queer. And I would just sustain it with my own thing. Like, nobody has to worry about outside investors deciding whether or not this thing is commercial, giving us ownership of our own stories, because that's how you create a sense of self. And then that's how you co-create a sense of community. And if I could do anything, it would be that. Like, I would have my entire creative studio. It would be some kind of corporation that's like not even tied to capitalism. Like, our profits are going to making community stronger, community better, and would be a safe space for all of these ideas that actually challenge capitalism. So being supportive of the most vulnerable in our community, giving space for people to grow, holding people in accountability in loving ways, because one of the things that I've been seeing is that when people try to build these things, there's always some kind of conflict that tries to tear it down from, you know, all manner of ways. But just having a whole ethos and a whole way of being that just fosters that community. And I would start it here and I would grow it and it would be global, and we would all get our playtime. We would all get our playtime.
Oh, I love playing. It's definitely one of my favorite activities now that I have discovered such a joy. I think my dream is I really want to have a farm that all my friends can come live on, an acorn of sorts, like in Parable of the Sower.
I love
that. Obviously, I don't want us to get overrun or
obviously
any of those things, but
only the good parts of it.
Yeah, all the good parts of Acorn. We don't have to have like a church or anything. That part's a little weird. but I like for us to have like tenants that we live by that everyone agrees to, like everyone has to help. I would love to have a kind of center like that on the land, like a, absolutely what you said, a multidisciplinary space. Yeah, where we grow our own food and are maybe able to sell some of that as a profit as well. Like, maybe I want to build my own house so I can be the final boss lesbian, unimpeachable among lesbians. Because that, I think, if I can build my own house, I think that lesbians can't deny me. Like,
I mean, if you build your own house, all the femmes have to come live in it.
Nah. We have I won't to, like, be having any of that.
We have to come flock. We have to come flock to you.
Well, you can come flock. There'll be, I'll have an
exclusive flock.
Yeah, very exclusive flock. Very exclusive flock. Electrify fence for the rest. Can't be letting all the birds in.
Oh my God.
Only the special birds.
Only the best ones.
Only the most beautiful birds with the best hearts and the biggest breath. No, I'm just kidding. Ooh. The biggest brains. Brains, y'all. The biggest brains. Well, I think we did it. How are you going to spend the rest of your Juneteenth?
I'm going to try to catch a couple of events, I think. And then I have like one creative session with one of my mentees that's going to be in my show. Like, they want some direction on the vision. So I'm actually excited to be talking to them. And other than that, real lazy, real breezy. Like, this weekend it needs to be about relaxation and recovery. And yeah, like, I'm looking forward to unwinding for sure. What about you?
Yeah, I think today I'm going to make some white wine spritzers, or maybe like an Aperol spritz or something like that. I'm in the mood for a little drinky drink, and then I'm going to watch that play later. I don't think I'm going to do too much. I'm like, I'm just going to chill. I mean,
to be free is to not have to perform.
Preach. Preach. Our ancestors would be proud.
They would. For us to just go sit our asses down somewhere and do nothing, because like, that's what this whole celebration is, just the freedom to do whatever the fuck you were gonna do without having to be beholden to somebody that's questioning your personhood.
My God. Yeah. Well, today's episode is sponsored by the Black Gay Agenda. It pushes on this Pride Teenth. Big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Ram Freeman.
I'm Narancy Speaks, and you can find me on Instagram at Narancy, N-A-R-A-N-S-I .speaks, like talking. And otherwise, you'll just have to figure out where I am in the wild.
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi K-A-Y-Y-Y. Stay Black, y'all.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santee. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.